Let me start with a confession. The most dangerous flight I ever came close to making was not in bad weather. It was not in a broken airplane. It was on a beautiful Saturday morning, with a good machine and a whole list of reasons I almost went anyway. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern, the show where we try to make you a sharper, safer pilot, one topic at a time. Today, we are talking about the single most useful tool the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, ever gave a pilot that has nothing to do with a rating or a maneuver. It is a four-letter word. It is PAVE, PAVE. And by the end of this segment, I want it living in the back of your head every time you reach for the keys. Let's get into it. Before I do, a quick word about our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First, solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Learning to fly is a long road with a lot of quiet milestones nobody throws you a party for. And there's something honest about holding a piece of metal that says you did that. AviationSoul.com. Go mark the moment. Now, back to that Saturday. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The check ride teaches you to fly the airplane. It does not really teach you to decide whether to fly at all. And that second skill is the one that keeps you alive over a 40-year flying life. The accident record is brutally clear on this. When the National Transportation Safety Board digs into general aviation fatal accidents, the majority of them do not come down to a pilot who could not physically fly the airplane. They come down to a pilot who made a decision, or a whole chain of small decisions, that put a perfectly capable airplane somewhere it should never have been. The stick and rudder was fine, the judgment failed. So the FAA did something smart in the risk management handbook and in the training materials behind your airman certification standards. They built simple checklists for the one part of flying that does not have a checklist bolted to the panel. Your own decision-making. PAVE is the big one. And what I love about it is that it is a pre-flight tool. You run it on the ground, at the kitchen table, before you're committed to anything. It sorts every risk on a given flight into four buckets so that no single category can sneak up on you. Let's walk through this together. P is for pilot. That's you. Are you actually fit to fly today? Not licensed, fit. There is a second little checklist that lives inside this one and it spells IMSAFE. Illness, medication, stress, alcohol, fatigue, emotion. You go down that list honestly. Do I have a head cold that is going to turn into a screaming sinus block on the descent? Did I take something last night that is still in my system? Am I flying today because I want to, or because I had a fight with somebody and I want to be alone at 5,000 feet? How much sleep did I actually get? When did I last fly this airplane, this approach, this airport? Currency is legal. Proficiency is real. They are not the same thing, and the airplane does not check your logbook. A is for aircraft. Is this specific airplane loaded this specific way, right, for this specific flight? Is it airworthy? Is the annual current? Are the required inspections done? But go deeper than legal. How much fuel do you really have against how far you're really going, with a real reserve and not a hopeful one? What is your weight and balance with these people and these bags? What is the density altitude going to do to your climb rate off that short strip on a hot afternoon? Does this airplane have the equipment for the conditions you might meet? A day VFR airplane is a wonderful thing right up until the day tries to turn into night, or the VFR tries to turn into cloud. V is for environment. We steal the V out of the middle of that word because E was already busy. This is the big bucket. Weather, obviously. Ceilings, visibility, winds, the forecast trend, whether things are getting better or worse along your route. But environment is more than weather. It is terrain, it is airspace, it is the airport itself, runway length, runway slope, obstacles, the note in the chart supplement about deer on the field at dusk. It is day versus night, because night takes a marginal situation and quietly removes your best tool, your eyes. It is a temporary flight restriction you did not check for. Environment is everything outside the airplane and outside you. And E is for external pressures. This is the one that kills people who should have known better. External pressure is every reason you have to complete this flight that has nothing to do with whether the flight is safe. The family waiting at the other end, the meeting Monday morning. The money you already spent, the friends in the back seats who took the day off, the little voice that says you are a real pilot now and real pilots do not scrub, get their itis has a body count, and it is a long one. Now here's the part I really want you to hear. The power of PAVE is not in any one letter. It is in what happens when the letters stack. Any single risk by itself is usually manageable. A little fatigue, you can handle a little fatigue. A marginal ceiling, you can wait, or you can pick a different route. A short runway, You know how to fly a short field. Passengers who really want to get home, you can have a conversation. But flying does not hand you the risks one at a time. It hands them to you in a pile, and the accidents happen when three or four yellow items, none of them red on their own, add up to a situation no reasonable pilot would have chosen if they had seen the whole picture at once. So let me show you the pile. Back to that Saturday. The airplane was a Cessna 172, and it was a good one. Freshly out of annual full tanks, nothing on the squawk sheet, that is the A in pave, and it was honestly green across the board. The airplane was the least of my problems, which is exactly why I almost let it fool me. The mission was across country to see family, about 2.5 hours out. I had flown it before. My daughter had a thing that afternoon, and we had told everyone we would be there. That is your E, external pressure, and a lot of it. We had promised. People were counting on us. The car was already loaded. Now the PI had slept about 5 hours. I had been up late the night before wrestling with something at work, and I was carrying that stress right into the cockpit. MSAFE was quietly flashing two lights at me, stress and fatigue, not disqualifying on their own, just there, just eating into my margins in a way I could feel if I was honest and ignore if I wanted to go. And the V, the environment, that was the killer that morning, and it was so easy to talk myself past. The departure was gorgeous. Severe, clear, light winds, the kind of morning that makes you want to fly for no reason at all. But the forecast down the route and especially at the destination showed a front sliding through in the early afternoon. Ceilings coming down, visibility dropping into that ugly marginal VFR band, rain developing. The terminal aerodrome forecast had a tempo group that put the destination right at the edge of what a VFR pilot has any business flying into, right around the time I would be arriving. Look at that pile. Green airplane, yellow pilot, tired and stressed. Yellow to red environment building at exactly the wrong time, and a whole trailer full of external pressure telling me the takeoff looked perfect, so surely it would all work out. That is the trap. The takeoff looked perfect. You do not launch into the destination weather, you launch into the departure weather, which is beautiful, and then you fly straight into the part that was going to hurt you. 2 hours later, tired, with your family on board and everyone expecting you to just get it done. So let me tell you what actually turned it around, because it was not some flash of superior airmanship. It was a number I had written down years earlier when my head was clear. That is the other half of today's topic. Personal minimums. Here's the idea. Your legal minimums are set by the regulations, and they are the same for you as they are for a 30,000-hour airline captain. 3 miles visibility, certain distances from clouds, day VFR, the regs do not know you got your ticket 8 months ago. They do not know how tired you are. They do not know that you have never once flown an actual approach to real minimums outside of training. Personal minimums are the numbers you set for yourself in the calm of your living room that are more conservative than the law. And you set them when nobody is pressuring you, precisely so that they are already decided when somebody is. You write down the lowest ceiling you will launch into, the lowest visibility, the maximum crosswind component you will accept, the most wind, the shortest runway, the highest density altitude. You write it down, on paper, like a limitation in a pilot's operating handbook, because that is exactly what it is. It is the operating handbook for you. The examiner, by the way, is looking for exactly this kind of thinking. Open your airman certification standards and read the risk management rows, not just the skill rows, on the private and the instrument. The ACS explicitly wants you to identify, assess, and mitigate risk. It wants you to talk through PAVE. It wants to hear you say the words personal minimums and mean them. A check ride is not just can you hold altitude in a steep turn. It is when I hand you a marginal weather scenario at the table. Do you have a decision-making process, or do you just squint and guess? My personal minimum for a VFR cross-country, written down years before that Saturday, said I would not launch toward a destination that was forecast to be below a certain ceiling and visibility around my arrival time. Not currently below, forecast below, and that morning, sitting there with a gorgeous departure out the window, and my kids' event on the calendar, and everybody in the car, the destination forecast was under my line. I did not have to win an argument with myself at the airport. I had already won it, years earlier when I wrote the number down. All I had to do on Saturday was be the kind of person who honors his own limitations. We drove, we were late, everybody lived, and that front came through the destination almost exactly as forecast, marginal and wet and ugly, right about the time I would have been trying to squeeze underneath it with my family watching me sweat. That is not a heroic story, that is the point. The best decisions in aviation are boring. Nobody writes a magazine article about the flight you did not take, so let me give you something you can actually use on your next flight. First, run PAVE out loud at the table before every real flight, not just the hard ones. Pilot, aircraft, environment, external pressures. Say the words. It takes 90 seconds and it forces you to look in the corners you would otherwise skip. Second, count your yellows. This is the habit I want you to build. Do not ask, is any single thing bad enough to cancel? Ask, how many marginal items am I stacking? One yellow, proceed with a plan. Two yellows, get serious, build in outs, tighten your limits. Three yellows, you're almost certainly looking at a no-go. And the fact that no single item feels like a deal breaker is exactly the illusion that gets people killed. The risks multiply, they do not add. Third, write your personal minimums down this week when it is calm, and then treat them as if the FAA printed them. Ceiling, visibility, crosswind, runway length, night fuel reserve. Put a number on each one, and here's the part that makes it real. Decide in advance that you're allowed to raise those numbers on a bad day, but never lower them at the airport. The airport with the car loaded and the family waiting is the one place on earth you are least qualified to renegotiate your own safety limits. And fourth, name the external pressure out loud. Just say it. I really want to make this trip because when you name it, it loses most of its power because you can finally see it for what it is. A want, not a reason. Here's the honest truth about all of this. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive. And you did not spend all that money and all those weekends to sit on the ground. I get it. The pull to go is real and it is not stupid. But the whole reason we build these little checklists, PAVE, IMSAFE, personal minimums, is that they let a calm version of you make decisions for the tired, pressured, hopeful version of you who shows up on the actual morning. That is not weakness. That is a professional protecting an amateur. And both of them are you. The material behind today's segment comes straight from the FAA's Risk Management Handbook and the Risk Management Standards written into your Airman Certification Standards. Go read them. They are free, and they are better than most of what you paid for. You can find more at RadioHanger.com and listen. The next time the departure looks perfect and something down the road does not, remember that you do not fly into the takeoff. You fly into the part you cannot see yet. Decide for that part now while it is easy. I'm Pattern. Count your yellows, and I'll see you next time.